Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. Everything is in that name. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to know the Lord, to be able to call upon him. Praise the Lord. You folks didn't know that there was going to be a frog speaking to you this morning. But I'll be okay. This too shall pass. Amen. I started preaching June of 1960. Do the math, that's 58 years ago. And I've learned, like the scripture says, and the Apostle Paul said, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. I learned there's going to be a lot of out of seasons. A lot of out of seasons. And I learned that if just go ahead and preach, it probably wouldn't hurt me anyway. And regardless of whether I felt well or not, I learned just go ahead and preach. And I'm still here. Praise the Lord. So if you can endure the frog, I can endure the sore throat. It just hit me last night. But anyway, I'd like to turn your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Sure good to see everybody here this morning. This is a good-looking crowd. Amen. Best-looking crowd in Springfield, I guarantee you. Amen. I want to go to chapter 5 and read one verse before I let you be seated. Verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. Then Simon Peter, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You may be seated. I got to reading that one day, and I thought, that is really a strange statement that Peter made. Why did he say that? Basically, get away from me, God. Lord, I'm no good for you. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So I've learned a long time ago that one of the things that I need to do whenever I encounter a scripture like that is try to find the answer to the five questions all journalists have to cover when they write a story. Who, when, what, where, and why? The five questions. Who, when, what, where, and why? So why did Peter say this? I think if you would go back a little bit and read the story. This is a story where the Bible says that the Lord told them to cast their nets. And you would bring in a big catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drouth or a big catch. And the Bible says in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that would be James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And when they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So that's when Simon Peter fell down at his knees, at Jesus' knees, and saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the drouth, or the catch, of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, probably Peter should have been listening to the Lord a few days before when they were all up on the mount where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, I'm sorry, chapter 8, I believe it is. Somewhere. Well, I believe it's there somewhere. Jesus was giving this Sermon on the Mount. I'm sorry, it's in chapter 6. In chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 24, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money in other words. "You can't serve God and money," Jesus was saying to the crowd up there on where he gave the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes on to say, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" Now, Peter should have been listening. I guess he was, but, you know, as the old saying, we got one ear for receiving, the other ear for transmitting. In one ear and out the other, in other words. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field," now this is the point that he was driving at, "if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore," anytime you see in the scripture the word therefore, you need to stop and figure out what it's there for. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Now, I'm sure that everyone here would agree it's not God's will for you to be running around naked. Right? God's going to provide you some clothes. One way or another. If you make any effort at all, he's going to make sure you have some clothes. Because none of us want to see you running around naked, and we know it's not God's will for you to be running around naked. So God's going to provide clothes for you. Nor does he want you to starve. He made the law that we've got to eat. Now, some of us obey that law too well, but we've got to eat. God knows that, and God's going to provide it. And then in verse 33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So what are these things that God's going to add to your life if you'll seek him first? It's basically what he was speaking about, we just read, the food and the clothing. God's going to take care of you one way or another. If you do your part, God will take care of you. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You got enough to worry about today. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. You got enough to concern your mind with the obligations of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. I've said before that my wife and I have, we've been married now 50 years, 50 and a half years. This past January, we celebrated our 50th. Every single meal since we first started dating, we've bowed our heads and asked the Lord to bless the food. We've given thanks to the Lord for food. Never one time have we gone hungry. Never one single time. God's always provided. So now, having said that, Jesus went down from that mountain on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, they think it was, where he gave the Sermon on the Mount. And he and his disciples went down, and they went to the city of Capernaum, which was Peter's hometown. When they got there, if you'll notice in Luke chapter 5, or 4 actually, Luke chapter 4, they encountered this man that was demon-possessed, and the Lord sets the man free. And then verse 38 of chapter 4 of Luke, it says, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, you could actually, I've studied this quite a bit, and I've come to the conclusion that here you could actually insert the verses. You could actually insert right there after the phrase, "Now when the sun was setting," you could actually put in parentheses, "Peter goes fishing." Peter goes fishing. The Bible doesn't have it right there, but somewhere, Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John, they decide to go fishing. Now, when Brother Todd goes fishing, he goes fishing for fun. He goes fishing for fun. And probably most of you, when you go fishing for fun. But when the disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John, when they went fishing, it was for business. It was a job. It was to earn money. That was their livelihood. Had been, anyway, until Jesus called them. Now, so get the picture now. At Peter's house, you have the Lord. First, he heals Peter's mother-in-law that had this fever. She immediately gets up and starts serving them. God healed her immediately. And then, if you'll notice, it says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." So now, here you've got the four disciples out there in these two boats fishing, and they did it with nets. And that's a lot of work, throwing out those nets and then pulling them in. All night they were throwing out those nets, and they caught nothing. Doing their physical best to take care of the natural, they caught nothing. But back there at Peter's house, there was a great revival going on. God was healing a lot of people, casting out demons, doing a great work. But Peter and Andrew and James and John were concerned with catching some fish. They were concerned about the natural. putting the natural in front of the spiritual. They weren't out there for fun. Like Brother Todd, when he goes fishing, he's out there for fun. But when Peter and Andrew and James and John went out there, they were trying to get some money. Now, they apparently had been away with Jesus for a while on traveling. And I kind of imagine, now I can't prove this by the Bible, but I kind of imagine when Peter got home, his wife kind of got him aside and said, "Hey, you've been away. We don't have any money coming in. We the cupboards are bare. The kids need sandals. I need a new dress. Get out of here and give me some money too." Because he wasn't out there for fun. Those disciples were out there for business. Now, we all know we've got to eat. We all know we've got to have clothes. You know, we've got to have shelter. Food, clothing, and shelter, the necessities of life. But God will provide if you'll put him first. When Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," that we just read here a few moments ago in Matthew. All these things, he was referring to food and clothing. God will provide if you seek him first, put him first in your life. I heard this story about the man that came to the preacher and said, "Pastor, I've been blessed. I'm making so much money. I owe so much tithes. I can't pay all that tithes to the church." And the pastor said, "Okay, let's pray about this." So he took the man and said, "Lord, this man's making too much money. He can't pay this much tithes. Would you lower his wage down where he'll be able to pay that tithes?" And the guy got the point real quickly. There's many a person couldn't afford to pay tithes, but they went ahead and did. And God blessed them. Speaking from experience, you put God to the test. He tells you to put him to the test. "Prove me," he said in the book of Malachi. "Prove me. Put him to the test." Amen. He'll pour out a blessing. Put God first. I don't care what it is in life that you've got to do. Put God first. And when daybreak had come, and all those that had been so wonderfully blessed there at the house, the people were wanting him just to stay around and preach in their area forever, I guess. Some way, Peter, one of the other Gospels tells us, Peter went out looking for the Lord. The Lord had actually gone out to an area alone to pray after healing all those people there at the house that, at Peter's house that night. And well, they'd been up all night, and so had Peter and the other disciples. They'd been up all night, but they were out fishing. So some way, Peter, I guess, must have talked to some of the people that had been there in the house and seen all the wonderful miracles, and they were wanting to know, "Where is Jesus now?" So Peter went out looking for him and said, "All men seek thee." So he must have heard from them the wonderful events at home and realized that he had missed it. He had been out on the Sea of Galilee fishing for tilapia, and my wife and I have eaten some of the great-great-great-grandsons of those fish that Peter caught. They're pretty good fish. I liked them. But Peter realized he missed it. There had been a great, great bunch of miracles done at his house, and he was out there on the lake fishing. There have been times over the years that I have been in services, oh, I'm thankful I didn't miss it. I'm thankful that I was there when I was able to see an experience to be part of a great move of God. I'm so glad I didn't miss that service. And you never know when it's going to happen. You never know when that fabulous, fabulous outpouring of the Holy Ghost is going to take place. I remember seeing a woman healed of crippling polio. I remember one time Brother Swearingham's grandpa was a family friend of ours. They lived just up the road from where we did. And I remember he was crippling about something. He had something wrong with his leg, and I don't remember what it was because this is like about 55 years ago. But I do remember that Brother Case was really, really hurting. And we were at the Westphalia campground, and there was a great move of God. And I remember the preachers gathered around Brother Case. I'm talking about Brother Swearingham's grandpa. And I remember as the ministers prayed, all of a sudden, Brother Case started jumping up and down. Brother Swearingham may not even know about this. Brother Case started jumping up and down and running all around that tabernacle. And he was running up to the preachers and showing them his leg. He was so excited. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I didn't miss that. Praise the Lord. That was a blessing to see this dear brother get healed instantly. And he was so excited. He was showing everybody his leg and didn't seem to have any more problem with it. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I didn't miss it. How do you know when you're going to miss a great move of God if you're out of church? I hope they're not here this morning, but I was at a donut shop just a few minutes ago, and behind us, I was overhearing some conversation, these people behind, and this lady was saying that somebody, I think she was talking about her son, but I'm not sure. She was saying that Sunday was his only day off, and it was the only time he had available to mow his yard. I've learned this. The devil will always come up with an excuse, a reason for you to stay out of church. There'll always be some reason, something more important than church. The devil will always point to something that's more important than the house of God. And if you listen to the devil, there's no end of reasons he'll give. I've got a yard to mow too. And I realize I'm retired, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of years I wasn't retired, and I always was in church Sunday morning. And I've learned to put God first, and these other things will kind of take care of themselves. Amen. Put God first. You'll never lose when you put God first. Amen. You'll never lose when you put God first. He'll always take care of you. Amen. And the Bible says in Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How wealthy is our God? According to his riches in glory. How wealthy is our God? Amen. He can supply all your needs. There's no limit to what he can do. Amen. Peter learned a valuable lesson. So when he realized that he had been out there on the lake all night long in a vain effort to get a little bit of money. And we can understand that. Every one of us have had money problems at one time or another. And some of you think, well, it's still going on. We can all sympathize with Peter in that respect. But I'm telling you the truth. The poor guy missed, and all the other three disciples that were with him, they missed a great move of God there at the house where God was healing and casting out demons and doing great works. Peter missed it, and he realized he had missed it. That's the reason he fell down and says, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Amen. My voice is about gone. I don't want to be croaking anymore in your ears, but you get the point. Peter realized he should have been there at the house and seeing that great move of God rather than out there trying to catch some fish. Amen. You put God first, you'll never lose. Amen. You put God first, you'll never lose. Amen. Let's stand and lift our voices in worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We lift our voices to you. We praise you, Lord. You're glorious. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. You've got to be our number one thing in life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're first, Lord God, in our life. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're glorious, God. We magnify you, Lord. You're worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. God bless you. We'll start the service at 1:00. God bless you.